Ya etena pumana nityam. Stutva stotrena mam bhaje. Asyashu samprasideyam. Sarva kama vareshwaraha.
Any human being who prays like Lord Brahma and who thus worships me shall very soon be blessed with the fulfillment of all his desires, for I am the Lord of all benedictions. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The prayers offered by Brahma cannot be chanted by anyone who desires to fulfill his own sense gratification. Such prayers can be selected only by a person who wants to satisfy the Lord in his service. The Lord certainly fulfills all desires in regard to transcendental loving service. But he cannot fulfill the whims of non-devotees, even when such casual devotees offer him the best of prayers. In the beginning of the universal creation, Lord Brahma takes his birth without a mother. From the lotus flower sprouting from the navel of Padmanabh Vishnu, Lord Brahma appears. Therefore, he is known as Atmabhūt. He appeared simply by the desire of Lord Narayana. In order to create the various facilities within this material universe, and these facilities are meant to achieve a particular purpose. The purpose is to create an atmosphere in which those unfortunate souls who have misused their free will, who had chosen not to serve the Lord of all existence, but to want to enjoy separate from the Lord, this material existence is created to frustrate all of their desires and bring them back to the lotus feet of the Lord. Actually, the purpose of the whole creation is just to give us the realization that there can be no happiness without devotional service. Until we surrender our hearts and our lives for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna, which is our natural constitutional position, all of our attempts for happiness will be frustrated. Material existence is dukalayam ashashvatam, because everything is temporary and contrary, the soul is eternal. The soul is always in anxiety. And to teach us a good lesson, Krishna puts us within the atmosphere of duality. It has a deeper impression. If there's nothing but suffering, then we may not really learn our lesson. Because then they may still think, there's, even though there's so much suffering here, still, if I only had the opportunity of enjoying, then I could enjoy independent of my nature to serve God. So Krishna wants to frustrate any trace of that misconception. Therefore, he gives so many pleasures in this world, and he lets us go on enjoying them, but in that enjoyment, still the underlying condition is anxiety and fear. And all of those pleasures culminate in suffering because of their temporary nature. So Krishna has very expertly created this material energy in such a way that there is happiness we get attached to, and then there is distress to prove to us that that happiness is actually useless. In fact, it is the cause of my distress. There are so many pleasures in this world. But the pleasures of this world were created by Krishna so that we could enjoy them. And in enjoying them, we ultimately become so dissatisfied and frustrated by that enjoyment, by that pleasure, and the culmination is pain, and the message he's trying to give us is stop trying to find pleasure because it only culminates in pain. And even when the pleasure is there, we can't even really wholeheartedly enjoy that pleasure. Because in our heart we know that it will end. It will end at any moment, and we fear that end. The underlying consciousness of everything in this material world is fear. You love your child, but you're always in fear that something may happen to the child. You love your home, but you always know there's always the fear of fire, or fear of little insects eating the wood, or fear of thieves, or fear of tax collectors. There's always fear, or fear that some bomb may come and drop upon us. You may have some money, and you may get some pleasure, but underlying the pleasure is so much fear. How much more I need? And how the more I have, the more people want to exploit me, want to steal from me. Therefore, you fear other people's motivations when they come as your friend. So there's no real wholehearted happiness that could possibly be within this material world. But the more we do enjoy, the more we become crushed. Our hearts become crushed when that enjoyment is taken away. So this is Krishna's psychology when he creates duality. To give us a chance to exercise our free will and to frustrate us. But he doesn't want to frustrate us because he is cruel. He wants to frustrate us because he is merciful. This may appear very inconceivable to a materialistic person. How is it mercy to frustrate you? How is it merciful to make you suffer? Because Krishna wants to give you something infinitely more wonderful. He wants to give you eternal bliss. He wants to give you unlimited love. Krishna wants to give us transcendental ecstasy, which has no beginning and no end. He wants to give us himself, who is the source of all bliss. He is Rasaraj. He is Rasabihari. He is the enjoyer of all sorts of intimate, ecstatic, loving relationships. And he wants to bring us back to our natural, joyous position of engaging in those loving relationships with him.
Krishna explains in Gita, all things that appear wonderful in this world are all but a spark of my eternal splendor. Any of your senses or mind that are attracted to whatever comes before us in this world, and we become so infatuated, intoxicated, and addicted to the objects of the senses because of their power of attraction. And the whole world is simply going on this principle that the mind sees something that attracts it through the senses and becomes infatuated, becomes intoxicated, addicted to that attraction. Always looking for something more and more and more. But Krishna explains that whatever attraction may be generated by his energy within this material existence is but a tiny little spark of the unlimited fire of attraction of his own divine personality. Ram means the reservoir of all pleasure. Krishna means the supreme object of everyone's attraction. Krishna wants to give us himself, the beautiful form of Shyam Sundar. Rupa Goswami explains, if you want to maintain your foolish attachments to your wealth, and your home, and your family members, do not go to Jamuna. Because on bank of Jamuna at Sri Keshi Ghat, Shyam Sundar is standing with his threefold bending form, playing upon his beautiful flute. And that beautiful form of Krishna, who is dark like the tamal tree, whose eyes are like fully bloomed lotus petals, whose transcendental threefold bending form is so infinitely charming to the hearts of all living beings, who plays the fifth note of his flute in such a way that anyone who hears it completely becomes mad and loses all interest in everything and anything else except the desire to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So don't look on that beautiful form of Shyam Sundar if you want to maintain your illusions within this material world. Because he is the source of all attraction. But in this material world, no one wants to look toward Shyam Sundar. Everyone is so preoccupied looking toward the illusory temporary sparks of his external material energy. Krishna is within our heart. Krishna is standing, playing upon his flute right before us as Sri Sri Radha Giridhari. Why our minds are not madly attracted? Because our minds are still so mad after the insignificant sparks of his external energy. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya prayed to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yogam Shikshashtame Ka Purusha Purana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give us the true path of the highest perfection of life. That involves Vairagya, Vidya, and Bhakti Yoga. Vairagya means very, very conscientiously detaching oneself from the objects of this illusory energy. Performing regulative principles, tapasya, to somehow or other bring down the fever of our material addictions. Sense gratification and Krishna consciousness go ill together, Srila Prabhupada has explained. They are opposites. Trying to enjoy material life and at the same time building our Krishna consciousness is like trying to build a fire by putting wood. Whenever we're hearing and chanting, we're putting wood in the fire. As we do seva, more wood is being put in the fire. But every time we engage in the objects of sense gratification, we are pouring water on the fire. Wood and water, wood and water. And gradually, we stop putting any wood, and we just put more and more water. And then we wonder, why I'm not making so much spiritual advancement as the scriptures promise. Mithopi padyeta krihavratanam madand gobir vishatam tamishram punapunas charavata charavananam. Prahlad Maharaj explained, as long as we are not willing to give up material enjoyment, you cannot understand the truth of Krishna by any means. We have to give it up. At the same time, how can we give it up without experiencing a higher taste? Unless we have knowledge, vidya, we cannot discriminate between what is temporary and what is eternal. What is the path of truth and what is the path of bondage? Why I am suffering and how this world is working and how to avoid being incriminated in the laws of material karma. Without knowledge, it is not possible to follow the proper path. But what is the proper path? Bhakti. To utilize our mind, our body, our modes, our life and everything connected in the service of Krishna. By hearing his glorious pastimes, by reading his instructions, by chanting his holy names, by serving him, by becoming the personal assistant or servant of the Lord, by offering prayers, by worshipping the deity, by becoming the Lord's friend, by surrendering everything, always remembering him. These are the ways by which we can always be in contact with Krishna and purify our hearts, perfect our lives. This is the purpose of this material existence, to bring people to the path of bhakti. But as foolish as we are, we do not come unless we are frustrated. First-class intelligence comes by hearing. Second-class comes through being kicked by Maya. And third-class is being kicked again and again and again, but still, I cannot give it up. The example that is given is how the hunter catches monkey. The hunter puts some nice food in a vessel. And the monkey can easily slip his hand in that vessel. But then there's so much food in that vessel, the monkey's greedy. The monkey wants to enjoy, so he just puts as much food as his hands can possibly hold. Then he tries to get his hand out. But the vessel is only big enough so his hand to slip in or out when it is empty. But the monkey is thinking, how can I give up this opportunity? Maybe some other day, but not now. I've been wanting to enjoy this type of food for so long. I'm just eating these leaves all the time, and here there's nice, nice sweetmeats made with ghee. Prabhupada didn't go into these details. but because I have more of monkey mentality, I can reflect deeper on the subject.
Let me get as many as I can. This opportunity may not come again for the rest of my life. And he just as many as he can hold. Then he tries to get his hand out of the pot. He cannot. He's trying so hard. He's pulling and he's tugging and he's straining, struggling, toiling. Let me just break through this pot.
Meanwhile, the hunter is just watching and smiling, thinking, what a fool monkey. All he has to do is let go, and he's free. But he's not willing to let go. So the hunter comes and puts him in his net, and the monkey is trapped and killed. Hare Krishna. So we should not be monkeys. Human being is meant to have vidya, intelligence. That okay, my mind and senses are so very much attracted to this, but it is the cause of my bondage. It is the reason for all my suffering. It is the cause of death. If I just let go, I'm free. But we cannot let go. We will not. This is the illusion of Maya. Therefore, Krishna has given us information. He descends into this world and performs his transcendental pastimes just to show us what is real beauty, what is real love and joy. And if we fix our mind on hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord's pastimes and serving the Lord's devotees and chanting his holy names, then we can give up these material addictions. But we must make a very concentrated effort to give it up. It does not happen automatically. We have to simultaneously struggle to give up sense gratification and engage in the higher taste of Krishna consciousness, devotional service. In the advanced stages, Krishna consciousness is so blissful. When we achieve the state of ruchi, then anything having to do with the service to Krishna is such an ecstatic experience. We spontaneously just want to hear and chant and remember Krishna always and serve his lotus feet. Material sense gratification has no charm. It is just seen as an insignificant disturbance. But until we attain that state of purification, material sense gratification is a very significant part of our life. Therefore, on the path of Vaidhi Bhakti, we must very, very carefully perform tapasya. I will give it up. No matter how much my five senses and mind are longing for this pleasure, no. No to Krishna, no to Maya, and yes to Krishna. It is very difficult. When you are not experiencing the ecstasy of bhakti, it's very difficult to say no to Maya. But it is the price. That ecstasy of bhakti cannot come until you show Krishna you want it so much that you are willing to say no to Maya. From the very beginning of creation, Lord Brahma understood that there was a purpose to what he had to do. He did not know what he was to do. He didn't know who he was to do it for. He did not know who he was, where he was, how he was going to do what he didn't know what to do. Brahma was confused. But Krishna, who is Jagat Guru, he is the original Guru of all creation, he appeared in an instruction to Brahma. He told him to perform tapasya. Through tapasya, Krishna revealed himself personally to Lord Brahma. We have read in this beautiful chapter entitled Brahma's Prayers for Creative Energy, where Brahma is glorifying Krishna, glorifying his transcendental attributes, his unlimited mercy. He is presenting himself in the most humble way to Lord Krishna. You cannot actually offer proper prayers to the Lord unless you totally humble yourself. Brahma is presenting that I am completely ignorant and useless. I can do nothing without your mercy. You want me to perform this service of creation. I don't know how to do it. I have no powers. My Lord, if you give me the power and the intelligence, then I can do it as an instrument of your mercy. Otherwise, I am just a big zero. There's nothing I can do. So Brahma is praying to the Lord. First he is glorifying the Lord. Then he is utterly humbling himself at the lotus feet of the Lord. Then he is begging the Lord, how can I serve you? And then asking the Lord, please give me the power to serve you because I cannot even do that. In this particular verse, Lord Krishna is giving a benediction to everyone. Any human being who prays like Lord Brahma and who thus worships me shall very soon be blessed with the fulfillment of all his desires, for I am the Lord of all benedictions. We are all seeking benedictions in our life. We all have so many desires that we want fulfilled. Krishna will fulfill all of our desires. He will give us all benedictions, providing we approach him in the same mood as Lord Brahma and offer him prayers. As long as you think that you can do anything successful without the grace of Krishna, Krishna will not give you his real benediction. We have to become like Brahma. That my goal in life is to serve you because everything else is simply frustrating. But I have no power to even serve you. Even that is your mercy. Materialistic people are very proud of what they can do. Whether you are a rich man or a poor man, whatever profits you happen to make, you are very proud that I have done like this by my efforts. Not only are you proud, but you want other people to recognize your good qualities. And when we come to Krishna consciousness, we understand this whole syndrome is simply a cause of frustration. Everyone is trying to just accumulate more and more and more of God's energy to enjoy for themselves. I've been doing it for so many births. I don't want it anymore. I want to surrender to Krishna. And the only way we can surrender to Krishna is by serving Krishna. We are giving service, but then Maya is so very intelligent that she puts us in the same sort of illusion when we're doing service. We're thinking, I am the doer of my service. I will enjoy the fruits of my service. And I will make sure everyone knows what a very wonderful servant I am. Lord Brahma, his mood was, Krishna, it is all your mercy. We cannot engage in your service unless you give us your causeless mercy, and we have no power to serve without your causeless mercy. The only thing we have is the independence to humble ourselves to please you, and you are supplying everything else. That is a fact. Krishna is supplying all the ingredients. He's supplying the paraphernalia we serve him, the ability, the intelligence, the life, everything. When you worship Ganga Devi by offering water to Ganga, we shouldn't be proud. Oh, Ganga Devi, just see how great I am. I have offered you 108 palmfuls of water. You should not forget this favor I have offered you. And the whole world should know what I have done for Mother Ganga. I have given her 108 palmfuls of water. But where are we getting the water from? Mother Ganga. Is there anything for us to be proud of? Nothing. In fact, if you offer those 108 palmfuls with pride, Ganga doesn't even accept them. She doesn't need it. She can send one of her crocodiles to eat you. Or she can send a strong stream to wash you away and drown you. Hare Krishna. She doesn't need your palmfuls of water. But when it is offered in a spirit of humility and devotion, then Ganga, oh, very nice. I will give you all benediction. Ganga is the water emanating from the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Therefore, Ganga Devi is not different than Krishna in that sense. Lord Brahma, he is fully cognizant that, Krishna, you want me to engage in this service. I want to please you. Please give me the power and the intelligence to please you for your enjoyment. When we offer these types of prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he will fulfill all of our innermost desires and reward us with all benedictions. The most illustrious example of this is our own beloved Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It was his desire to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We serve the Lord by serving His representative, the spiritual master. Without serving the spiritual master, we have no access to service to the Supreme Lord. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nagati guto. If one pleases Guru, Krishna is pleased. If one does not please Guru, we cannot please Krishna. And why is Krishna pleased when we please Guru? Because Guru is simply teaching us how to please Krishna. The Guru is not teaching us how to please himself. The Guru is simply engaging us in Krishna's service. If a Guru is telling us to do something displeasing to Krishna, he is not Guru. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada was given the instruction of his spiritual master to fulfill the desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prithivite achayata nagarari gram. Mahaprabhu's desire was that in every town and village my name will be chanted. Brahmita, Brahmite, what is that? Bharata bhumite hoila manusya janma jara janma sarat kakari khara para upakar. It is the duty of every person born in this great land of Bharatvarsha to perform the highest welfare work for all humanity, for all living beings, by spreading the glories of this Sankirtan movement. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave Srila Prabhupada the order of Lord Chaitanya, the order of the Personality of Godhead to fulfill in his life. And Srila Prabhupada wanted to do that. He was willing to give up his very life for that purpose. After several heart attacks and seasickness, and a journey across several oceans on a cargo ship called Jaladuta, Srila Prabhupada came to the Boston Harbor. He saw where my Guru Maharaj has sent me to such a materialistic, sinful, dirty place where nobody has ever heard Krishna's name, where everyone is eating the flesh of the cows, taking intoxications. There's no restrictions between men and women. There's so much technology and science and academic advancement only to bind more and more the conditioned soul in the network of illusion. What to do? He had his service, but he felt completely incompetent to perform this service. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada followed Krishna's instruction here. He prayed just like Lord Brahma. And those prayers, by Guru Maharaj's mercy, are still there for us to learn from. In his prayers, he declares himself to be an insignificant beggar. These people are so much captivated by the modes of passion and ignorance. How will I convince them? Krishna, if you give me the words to speak, only then will my words change their hearts. If you give me the knowledge of our parampara to reveal to them, you have given me the name Bhaktivedanta, which means the conclusion of all knowledge is bhakti, or devotional service to Krishna. You have given me this name, but I have no power to fulfill the purpose of this name. Only if you give me this power, I am your insignificant beggar. In Srila Prabhupada's life, we find the very fulfillment of Krishna's promise in this beautiful sloka that we are reading today. Any human being who prays like Lord Brahma and who thus worships me shall very soon be blessed with the fulfillment of all his desires, for I am the Lord of all benedictions. Srila Prabhupada's desire was to serve. He humbled himself, glorified Krishna, and offered his prayers just following in the footsteps of Lord Brahma in this chapter. And the result was all of his desires were fulfilled. Millions of Vedic literatures being distributed all over the world. Hundreds of temples opening all over the world. Tens and thousands of devotees transforming their lives and preaching the message of Lord Chaitanya all over the world. This is the real benediction. And Srila Prabhupada, he said, do as I am doing. We cannot imitate him, because he has a very unique exalted position of an empowered Vaishnava. But by following in his footsteps and offering the proper prayers in our life, we also can have all of our desires fulfilled. Srila Prabhupada had so many desires fulfilled. He not only wanted desire, he had the desire to change people's hearts, but he also had desire for facilities. He wanted to start a beautiful temple in Bombay, only for the purpose of serving Krishna and his Guru Maharaj. He had no money. Just think, when Srila Prabhupada was living in Bombay before he came to the West, he was like a beggar. He went to Juhu Beach just to beg from this very, very noble-hearted Mataji, Sumati Murarji, please give me a ticket to the West. I have no money to pay for it. Please give donation of ticket to the West on cargo ship. But during that time, he looked at that plot of land, which was a rat-infested jungle, and he was thinking, this would be a very wonderful place for a temple. Hare Krishna. And then he went to the West, and he brought back some disciples in 1971. And they were searching everywhere for a temple. And Prabhupada said, this is where I want the temple. The disciples were shocked. Why here? Why not somewhere else? Because in those days, 1971, Juhu Beach was not even a part of Bombay. There was just miles of jungles between, and it was just a swampy place. So many mosquitoes and rats and snakes. The devotees could not understand why he wants to do it here. Plus, he had no money. and plus very, very powerful people in society were against him doing anything there. But it was his desire. His prayer is like, Lord Brahma, please help me do this to serve you. I have no power to do it. And now there are millions of people coming every year to see the beautiful forms of Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari and associate with their devotees and hear the congregational chanting of Krishna's holy name.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
So, dharmasya hipavargasya narthutayopakalpate. We should never think that the results of our devotional activities or our prayers are meant for our own purpose. They are always meant for the service of the Lord. This was the nature of Brahma's prayer. And the evidence that these prayers actually work in our factual life have been demonstrated by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So let us, with all humility at our disposal, fall at the feet of the servants of the servants of the Lord and beg the Lord, please, let me serve you. Let me not be bewildered by your material energy. Let me focus my mind on your pleasure and give me the ability to serve you. And let me give all glory and credit to you. Lord Brahma in his prayers is explaining to Krishna that foolish people think that I am the creator. That is their illusion. And if I think that way, then I will be in great illusion. You are the everything. We are simply trying to serve. Give us your service, my Lord, and give us the power to serve you to your satisfaction. And the great acharyas have given us this wonderful translation. My dear Lord Sri Krishna, please engage me in your loving service. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare.
Thank you very much. Is there any questions?
You always have to do the needful. So most of the time, we are just going out planning to do the needful. And going out planning to do the needful, finally the result is going to be frustrated. So why to go to do the needful also? Like the final result is going to be frustrated. Instead of spending so many hours going to do the needful, and there is so much destruction by the material nature, if that time is completely gone, is saved out, and completely concentrated in the spiritual life, much more you can do through the advancement rather than getting frustrated in the act. So what is the reason for that?
What is required is we understand what is needful. Maya is telling us what is needful, and Krishna is telling us what is needful. When Srila Prabhupada said, do the needful, he was telling us to do what Krishna says is needful, not what the mind is saying is needful. What is the need of human existence? Atato brahma jigyasa. The need is self-realization. That is the great need. So we should do whatever is required to be Krishna conscious. That is what it means to do the needful. And of course, as a grihastha, you must keep body and soul together and maintain physically, emotionally, your family. So you might, but to do it in such a way that you are all progressively making spiritual advancement, that is doing the needful. If you become so very much distracted that you have no time for your spiritual life, you are not doing the needful. You are doing the useless. But mind, due to Maya's influence, will think this is needful. We need the association of devotees. We must hear from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, for we know what actually is needful, and actually do the needful. It is needful to chant your 16 rounds attentively every day. It is needful to hear the scriptures every day. It is needful to associate with devotees as much as possible. It is needful to keep a very, very pure spiritual atmosphere in your home. Those are needful. And whatever other activities in your occupation are required to support what is needful, that is also needful. Nothing else is needful. Prabhupada said, do the needful. He did not say, do the needless. Hare Krishna.
And you said that we should have this need of praying, but usually for praying we require humility at our disposal. And for neophyte like myself, we don't have much humility at disposal. How do we really pray? The need of praying doesn't ever come.
We should pray for that humility sincerely. We do not have genuine humility. We should pray for that humility. We should pray for the genuine desire for that humility. And we should behave in such a way that Krishna will take our prayer seriously. If you act contrary to your prayers, then Krishna will not take your prayers seriously. But if we stake our life to live in harmony with our prayer, then Krishna will actually take our prayer seriously, and he will fulfill that prayer. Any other questions? Yes?
Maharaj, story is Sachid Anand. Then why we call the suffering souls? It is always because of mental or ego. That suffering is also illusion, isn't it?
Yes.
Why do you always refer the term suffering souls?
Because the soul is in a dream. The dream is we are identifying something that is not, that we are this body. And the body is subjected to so many difficult conditions due to its temporary nature. And when the soul identifies with it, it suffers. So the soul is full of bliss, but as long as the soul is dreaming that he is this material, part of this material energy, then the soul is suffering. Jeev Jago. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us this message. Wake up, sleeping soul, from this dream which is the cause of your suffering. See who you really are. You are with Krishna. Chant his holy name. Yes?
Most of the classes we keep saying that we should not find any faults in the devotee. But many times we don't find faults, but the faults themselves are so roughly manifest. In terms of greed or anger or temperament or emotional nature, or sometimes over disagreement over very small trivial matters, people become moody, stop talking, turn faces away. It is all so grossly manifest. I'm not finding thoughts that are grossly manifest. So what I should do?
When these experiences come into your life, you should know that these are the reactions to your own faults. Hare Krishna. Why are people acting like this to us? Because we have acted like that in the past. So rather than seeing the faults in others, we should see the fault in ourselves. And we should try to correct ourselves. We should see whatever little or great there is that is good in others. No doubt, in this material world, there are faults everywhere that we can see. A person may not be a paramhamsa. A person may have anger or greed or material desires. But the fact is that devotee is one out of millions and millions of fortunate souls who is earnestly trying to overcome them and serve the Lord. And that one good quality is far greater than the faults that may be there. Srila Prabhupada said, if the person is taking bath and you still see some dirt in him, that is not very intelligent. Because the person is in the process of getting the dirt off. So we should see the glory of that person's desire to serve as billions of times greater than the faults that may be still present due to previous births. Because they will be removed in due course of time. And if you associate with that person's glorious aspect, you will become glorious. And if you associate your mind with that person's faults, then you will just be contaminated by the faults. Because you become what you associate with.
Senior devotee shouting and abusing and then slapping on the face of a junior devotee. And there I'm nowhere ignored. I'm just a neutral witness. Shall I continue to think that my eyes and ears are faulty? It's a very small...
That's an easy question. Are your eyes and ears perfect? Yes, of course you should continue to think your eyes and ears are faulty, because they are faulty. Hare Krishna. You should think, when will I get that mercy of being slapped by this guy? Srila Prabhupada, please. Thank you very much.
For further details of this cassette, please contact Radhanath Swami Tape Ministry. Address is International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir, 7 KM Munshi Marg, Chowpatty, Bombay 400007, India.